What is going on? Welcome back to another episode of Nerds Who In and Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you so much for joining me today. So, we've got a lot to talk about. Predominantly, what we're going to talk about today is going to be the Book of Boba Fett and predictions for what I think is going to happen in the season finale. Now, that being said, I did want to start off talking about the comic spec market and what's happened over the last, I would say, month and a half. There have been books that have absolutely taken off on, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinions, very broad and assumption-based spec. So, I don't know if you guys saw, but that Black Panther number 3, the first appearance of Tossin, exploded. I mean, when I say exploded, it took off. I was seeing the 1 in 25s of a book that came out that week going for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, they're up to $1,000 now. And from what I'm understanding, the only reason why this book took off is because people are kind of assuming that that character is going to become the next King of Wakanda in the MCU, not just in the comics. And this is all obviously because of the passing of the great Chadwick Boseman. You kind of have this vacuum right now of the King of Wakanda and Black Panther. It's been up in the air right now. We don't really know what's going to happen. Now, is it possible that Shuri will take over? Absolutely. And the easy answer is Tossin a possibility in the future. Sure, absolutely. But I don't know. People are treating this character like he's the Black Panther version of Miles Morales. And I don't know if I quite see that. I mean, there is a Miles Morales Ultimate Fallout 4 homage cover for issue 4, I believe. I think it's issue 6. I'm not sure, but it's coming. So, yeah, I understand that there are some parallels here, but it to me seems like people are just running with these spec books right now to a point that I think they're going to end up regretting it. And I think books like that are going to be what ends up popping the bubble of the comic, let's just say, selling community. Because there will always be fans of the properties that go out and get the books no matter what. People like you and me who are listening to this or me who's recording it, I mean, I'm going to go get the books regardless whether or not they're going to be hot books. I'll get them for myself instead of trying to find books to make money off of. And don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking anyone's hustle. I mean, I am not one to talk. I had a show on Saturday. I have a show today on Sunday. I mean, I'm not the type of person who's going to throw stones while I live in such a glass house. And God, do I wish I had purchased a 1 in 25 for like $50 when I first heard about it? Of course. Of course. I'm not sitting here and acting like I didn't wish I was one of the ones who jumped on it and could have been the one that all these people are spending all this money to. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that at all. If you were one of those people, whoo-hoo, I applaud you. Congratulations. You beat me. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm a huge specker, and I have been grabbing books left and right trying to get that next spec book. I wasn't really even selling comics until last year. I purchased a first appearance of White Vision for $5. And then end up selling it for $75, and I was hooked ever since. I've been searching for that next big book that I can flip for something like that. I mean, again, if you sell comics, if you're a comic retailer, congratulations. I applaud you. If you're someone who just flips books to try to make money, or flips books to try to get bigger books, do what you gotta do. I mean, I'm speaking from personal experience. This is me. I do that. I mean, thanks to selling comics on Whatnot, I have been able to buy books that I never even imagined I'd have the ability to get. I have three copies of Vader number 3, first appearance of Dr. Aphra, 000, and that assassin droid. That's a book I've wanted since it came out, and I missed it. And now I have three of them. Right now, at the height of when the spec for this character is at an all-time high. I mean, I never could have done that if I didn't start selling comics. And now I have exclusives on the way. I have my own comic in production. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have gone that route if I wasn't making a profit on selling comics and having this extra money to do things like that. So by all means, do it. I mean, because of what happened with that Black Panther book, I went out and made sure I had multiple different versions and copies of the Spider-Man 88, the first appearance of Queen Goblin. Like, I got the 1 in 25, got the Kirkham Hobgoblin homage. I mean, just in the hopes that, hey, maybe that book's gonna take off. I mean, it's not just these. I mean, you had to look at Death of Doctor Strange, Bloodstone. Initially, that first appearance in there was taken off because everyone's saying that character's gonna appear in What If, or in the zombie Marvel Zombies spinoff, which very well might be, and I'm glad I have a couple copies of it just in case. But man, it's just like each week there's another book that's just skyrocketing because it's on someone's top 10 list. And I'm not throwing shade at anyone who has a top 10 list, because there are some of you that do a great job and don't just try to mess things up for people. But I'm just saying, nowadays, there seems to be a lot of people who are getting into the comic game because they see that there is money to be made. And for people like me, it's refreshing. One, because there's a lot new blood in the comic buying community. But it's also bittersweet, because I remember when these books weren't worth shit. Like, I know that there's always been a market for the super big keys, like the Hulk 181s and, you know, things like that, obviously. But now even minor keys and spec books are going for these crazy numbers just for the hope that you'll be one of the ones to have the next book that's worth $10,000. And the likeliness you're going to hit that off of a new spec book, it's possible. I mean, hell, anyone who picked up a Miles Morales, that Ultimate Fallout 4, that when it released for $4.99, it can sell right now for a couple hundred easy without breaking a sweat, is happy. Don't get me wrong. But I think we need to find a way to educate the masses. Even if it means we don't get as many people in the community buying books. Because, I mean, let's be honest. The collectors are the ones who are really going to fuel this market. And as long as it gets people into reading comics, let them get the digitals. I mean, there's nothing wrong with reading it digitally. Like, I have to do that occasionally. I do Nerdtween comic reviews. So, you know, I read Good Boy 1 and 2, and I did Good Boy 1 review, and then 2, I read it and loved it, and then I forgot a couple names and stuff. So instead of going to get my book back out again, I just went and bought the digital and read it digitally real quick. Oh, there we go. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Got it. You know, so that's really the way of the future. And that's why these NFTs, which I'm sad to admit that one of these days I will eventually get into, might be the wave of the future, because it's going to be all about digital, and those are digital comics. You may not be able to read them. And if they can make those NFTs readable, I will literally dive headfirst into that pool without a question, because then it makes sense to me, because you're not only owning just a little cover, a little picture of it, you're actually able to read the book. Cool. Let's do it. Let's do it. But it's really interesting how the market keeps changing. And I just hope that for some of us who are investing a lot of money trying to do things, like I said, I've got exclusives on the way. It is not cheap to get an exclusive. I'm sharing it with Duffy Boys Comics. I don't even have I'm not getting my own with one of these actual, like, it's a Source Point press book. Like, this is not like your cousin's comic book that we're just going to go in on a cover with. No. This is a actual one of the bigger of the smaller press printers. Source Point Press, they've got some great books. I mean, Good Boy included. You know, so it's going to suck if it goes back to the days where most books aren't worth anything. I mean, think about it. There was a time where comics, like DC Comics, were selling so bad, they tried to sell themselves to Marvel. And Marvel said, nah, we don't want them. And then Marvel almost went out of business, had to sell off all their rights to so many characters, which is why we had to wait so long for Spider-Man, so long for Fantastic Four, so long for the X-Men, because the industry died. And here we are now with it booming. But is it booming for the right things is what I'm starting to question. Again, I'm along for the ride. I'm not knocking anyone's hustle. And I'm sure if I was more popular and a lot more people listened to myself, I'd have a lot of hate comments right now talking about, oh, you sell comics. Blah, blah, blah. Yes, I do. And I know that I try to educate my my buyers. I tell them everything about the book. This is the key. This is what it, like, I didn't just find out what a newsstand and a direct issue is. I didn't just find out what that meant. You know, I've been reading comics for most of my life. I've seen the come and go of this industry. I'm just hoping that the bubble ain't about to burst and we're all going to be sitting here with a shitload more comics than we wanted to have. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound like too bad of a problem. Okay. So that's my little rant on that whole genre of topic. We're going to take a quick little break here, and then when we come back, I'm going to talk about The Book of Boba Fett, the newest episode that just came out, as well as my predictions for what we will see in the season finale. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Okay, so obviously if you're still here, you understand what's about to happen. If you have not seen the newest episode of Book of Boba Fett, the episode 6, please back out now. If you don't like spoilers, or if you don't like to have a theory possibly predict the ending, like I've done quite a bit, please leave. I have nothing and hold nothing against you. Now, if you're still here, that means you're ready. So, wow. I mean, we'll get to it more at the end, but I'm going to start off with, holy freaking shit, Cad Bane. Did not see that coming. And, you know, I should have, because initially when we saw the boots with Fennec Shan in The Mandalorian, I immediately thought Cad Bane, and then I heard the, you know, the sound and realized it was Boba Fett. And, man, when he showed up, I was speechless. I was freaking out. But let's start off with the very beginning. We can see Cobb Vanth back again from his appearance in The Mandalorian, and he's still the Marshal, and we see the Pike Syndicate. They're in the desert trying to transport spice. Cobb Vanth is too badass, takes three of them out. One guy lives and gets to leave, and leaves the spice, and Cobb just knocked it over and let it all blow out into the sands. Which I don't understand. I mean, from what I hear, that's pretty awesome. And very valuable. The Pike guy even said it's worth more than your whole town. But this episode was another great episode of The Mandalorian. I mean Book of Boba Fett. Now, one thing I want to say as well is I think it's interesting that so many characters call Din Djarin the Mandalorian, as if Boba Fett is not a Mandalorian, as if Bo-Katan is not a Mandalorian. It makes it kind of seem like he's the only Mandalorian, and right now, technically, he's not even a Mandalorian based off their laws. So, the fact that he's still being called the Mandalorian bothers me just a smidge. Just a smidge. But that's neither here nor there, really, in the grand scheme of things. Now, I do want to also point out that when Din shows up at this planet, he first meets up with R2-D2. And now, I want to know, I mean, R2-D2 in the prequels, that man, that robot literally was taking out assassin droids and shit. So he's more than capable of moving around, but he just kind of, drove on, you know, grass? It didn't seem like perfect and easy terrain. But here we are. We see all these other droids building this temple, which, from what I'm guessing, is going to be the temple that Luke trains Ben Solo, a.k.a. Kylo Ren, at. And then Kylo eventually destroys. Now, I think that Kylo Ren Disney Plus show is just around the corner. There was a leaked, quote-unquote, trailer for the Knights of Ren TV show, which I don't think was real. But if you're, let me tell you, you better go and get yourself some Kylo Ren comic books soon, because that Darth Maul number 2 first appeared to Cad Bane went from like a $50 book to a $180 book overnight. So here we go. That spec market stuff like I was talking about. Same thing happened with Vader number, what was it? I think it was Darth Vader number 1, the first appearance of Black the Wookiee bounty hunter. Because, man, if they do a Kylo Ren show, whoo, those books are going to be hot. Okay, I digress. And then, you know, the Mandalorian kind of has to wait and hang out. Look, I'm even calling him the Mandalorian. And Ahsoka shows up, which I was hoping it was just going to be Ahsoka. And I think it's kind of interesting and cool at the same point that I wasn't necessarily wrong with that. Din never spoke to Luke. And it's also Mark Hamill actually said that he didn't record any voice overs for this. So this is somebody else doing the voice of that, which is kind of crazy. But Ahsoka, you know, made a kind of valid point. She was talking to Din about how does he really want to see him for Grogu or for himself? And, you know, Din being the man, Din is the man, okay? He really is just true good. Even though he's killed people and he's done some questionable things, at his core, he has a code and it's a shame that taking his helmet off so that his foundling could see his face before he left is enough to get him kicked out, but whatever. Now, when I do think that they had a big missed opportunity here, because Din is struggling so mightily with the Darksaber to have two of arguably the best lightsaber duelists in the history of Star Wars. I mean, you can make the case that Luke wasn't as good of a swordsman as some of the other people, but you can't deny what he has done. And to see Prime Luke like he was in The Mandalorian, I mean, how are you going to argue that? I mean, he took out all of those ridiculous droids without even breaking a sweat. And not only that, but he did beat Darth Vader. He did defeat the dark side and not give in and kill the Emperor. I mean, he is a very, very powerful Jedi. And then you have Ahsoka, who's not, quote, technically a Jedi anymore, but, and I've argued many times that Ahsoka is actually the purest and truest Jedi there is on numerous occasions. You could check back to my Who is Ahsoka Tano episode, and I broke it down. There was a time where she saved 50,000 clone troopers, and they're clone troopers. Most of the other people, including Yoda, were like, but they're expendable. And she's like, no, they're not. They're just human beings. She's always been on the side of the right, of the light side, except for the time when she, you know, was possessed by the brother, but that's neither here nor there. That wasn't really her. So, and to have those two, who have both actually went toe-to-toe with Darth Vader and survived. Ahsoka went toe-to-toe with Darth Maul numerous times. I mean, not for nothing. They're probably some of the best people to ever learn from, besides Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, you can't learn from Yoda. You can't learn from Obi-Wan. You can't learn from Mace. I still think Mace is alive, by the way. I mean, I feel like he survived. I'm sorry. There's also just happens to be a Dark Horse comic book where there is a baby member of Yoda's species seen in the panels. And I always said that I think Mace fell out the window, survived the fall barely, went and rescued Grogu. And he was the one who put him on that planet where Din first found him in episode one of The Mandalorian. That's been my... I will die on that hill, even if it's wrong, because that's what I want to happen more than anything else. I want old man Samuel with a long ass beard in his tattered Jedi robes with a metal hand. Yeah. And that purple lightsaber. That's what I want. That's what I want. But again, I digress. So we saw that they melted down the Beskar spear to make something for Grogu, and I thought it was chainmail from the get-go, and obviously I was right. Which I think is kind of funny, because I feel like it's almost like Mithril, like it's his like little like I can survive any stab wound, get out of jail free card, just to protect that asset as much as possible. Way to go, Disney. Because if Grogu dies, when, you know, I also think that if we get a Kylo Ren story, Grogu should be at the temple and have to fight him and fall. I know. But that's neither here nor there. We get to see Grogu and training with Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, and not for nothing, the CGI looked really good. There was very few points where I was like, "Ooh, I don't know if that's, I don't believe that's not computer." You know what I mean? But can we all just agree that we just need to get Sebastian Stan in here to play young Luke? I'm sorry. He looks just like him. Man, put him in the robes, man. You know he can do action scenes. Let him do the... Oh, my God. That is a fan cast. That's another thing I will die on. The hill I will die on is Sebastian Stan as young Luke. I'm sorry. Just go... Literally, go search on Google Sebastian Stan, Luke Skywalker, and you'll be like, son of a bitch was right. All right, moving on. So, and of course, you know, like I said, Din, the honorable one, he leaves. And I, oh my God, you know, there are so many things that I always wondered, you know, because we knew about Ahsoka being alive. We knew Luke was alive. Did they ever meet? Obviously, now we have seen them meet. Now, did they have they met before that? I don't know. There was a weird little, like, almost sexual tension right there. I don't know if anyone else picked up on that or if I'm just the weirdo, but it looked almost like that was a thing. I don't know how I feel about that, if I'm right, or I hope I'm wrong. I did like how she called herself a friend of the family. I mean, not for nothing, but if there was anyone who could have stopped Anakin from turning to the dark side, it would have been Ahsoka. Ahsoka had that power. And, you know, I will get to this more at the end when I talk about the future of the Star Wars properties when I get to that. But it seems like Darth Vader, becoming Darth Vader, losing Ahsoka was the first trigger. And I've said that, like, he was always, you know, a kind of a rebel-ish, you know, you could see him getting a little angry and all that stuff. Yeah, he killed all those Tusken Raiders, which is horrible, especially after this season of Book of Boba Fett, man. They were some awesome people. But I feel, and I think that losing Ahsoka was his guiding star. Obi-Wan was his mentor, the guy he idolized, but I feel like Ahsoka was the one that kept him in line because he wanted to do better than what his own emotions and his own desires would entail, because he knew he was trying to set an example and training this young Padawan. So I feel like if she never would have gotten banished from the Jedi, from being a Jedi, as well as, you know, they gave her an option to come back and she said no, I feel like that would have changed everything. But to see them interact was great. I mean, just to think of the power that was standing in that random field on this random planet where they're creating this temple. I mean, that's a lot of power. I mean, a lot of power. You know, and we had some comic relief with the frogs. Grogu loves himself some frogs. But it feels like there was a missed opportunity with the Darksaber. And I think that moving forward with the Mandalorian season 3, I think that might come into play. Now, we're going to go back. We're going to come back to Grogu and Luke in a second. When we go back to the Tatooine, Mando approaches the Marshal Cobb Vanth about having his people help them fight the Syndicate. And you know that he did help them train, and they did kill the Krayt Dragons. So hey, I mean, not for nothing, but they can fight. They some fighters now. Now that being said, you know, obviously they're now Freetown, and they are not about it initially. And then comes the stranger walking through the desert. Now, one random thing here: how far did he walk? How far did Cad Bane walk? Did he walk from Mos Espa? Or did, you know, did he have like a speeder or something just over the ridge so he can have the dramatic entrance? I mean, don't get me wrong, it was badass. I loved watching him walk up. It was that had that full on Western, just, you know, like there should the tumbleweeds and should have been someone in a serapa. Like, just like, do you feel lucky, punk? I know that's not the right movie. I understand that, but you get it. Same person. Same actor. Clint Eastwood. But, I, you know, when you saw him walking up, I saw the hat, and I was like, no way. There's no way. It's not Cad Bane. Holy shit. It's Cad effing Bane. Now, this is something I'm really excited about, because Dave Filoni helped write this episode, right? Dave Filoni had written a standoff between Boba Fett and Cad Bane, and that was the explanation how he got the dent in his helmet. That episode was never created. Please tell me. I'm hoping. I feel like there's going to be a flashback. Like, I feel like we're about to get a full-on ground war. like in the spoiler alert for what I feel like is gonna happen next episode, season finale. Yeah, I truly think there's gonna be a battle, and it's gonna be the Pike Syndicate and Cad Bane and probably some other people and creatures and stuff. And yes, I'm calling it, and I've been calling it. Boba Fett's gonna ride in on a Rancor. I'm sorry, that's gonna be freaking badass, which he doesn't really need because, you know, he's got a jetpack. I mean, he can ride in on him, but I hope he, like, jumps off rather soon and fights, you know, hand-to-hand. But that being said, I feel like, and, you know, the actor Mar Morrison, he actually said that wait till episode 7, and he said, wow. So I definitely think that is a big episode is going to happen soon. And I did say last week I had an issue with the fact that the Mandalorian took up the entire episode and there was no even appearance of Boba Fett. And this episode, he didn't say a word. He just stood there. Now, I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about this long and hard. There probably wasn't enough of a story to do the Book of Boba Fett now. If they would have done like a prequel, chef's kiss, that would have been amazing. You could have had him see him go on all these bounties and stuff, but he's an older man now. He survived a Sarlacc pit. I mean, he doesn't want to go hunting bounties. He wants to rule. He went from being a street thug to being head of the CEO, the head of the table. He ain't going back. I get it. Believe me, I get it. Now, that being said, he couldn't just, I mean, there was never going to be the Book of Boba Fett, the movie. Unless the Disney Plus wasn't a season, it was just a movie. In that case, it would have been less time. So, and you got to realize, also, Jon Favreau is one who did both, created both The Mandalorian, wrote the scripts, as well as this season 2. Okay, so to him, it's one big connected story. So when they show up, doesn't really matter. Who's the main character? That episode doesn't really matter. These are all the main players. So that being said, I feel like we're going to have a badass battle. And don't be surprised if Din Djarin loses the Darksaber. Could you imagine if Cad Bane beat the Mandalorian and took the Darksaber? I just got chills. Like, could you imagine what that would look like? Whoo. Man, if that happens, oh my God, I'm going to freak the F out. But Maybe Boba Fett then takes it from Bane. You know what I mean? Like there's so many scenarios that could play out, and I doesn't. I definitely think it's literally gonna be war in the sands of Tatooine. That's what I'm predicting. I don't know if I think Bo-Katan or we know Sasha Banks has come out and said that she's done with The Mandalorian. Not that she didn't want to keep doing it. They just told her that she wasn't going to be moving forward, which I thought she did pretty good. Don't get me wrong. Whew, that was awesome. When she fought Boba Fett, that was dope. I mean, like, and anyone says otherwise, they're wrong. What the I mean, that was awesome. But I could see Sabine showing up randomly. Like, looking for Ahsoka. And that's how they'll tie in Ahsoka, the Ahsoka series, to these events. Because while there's a lot of people who will just watch the Ahsoka show strictly because it's the Ahsoka show, there are those fair weather, new, or whatever you want to call them, Star Wars fans, that you have to rope in by connecting it with a property they already like. And I do believe that could happen, and I wouldn't run it past them. I could not find specifically who's directing the season finale. I'm going to assume it's going to be Jon Favreau. And who knows? From my understanding, Dave Filoni is writing the Ahsoka show by himself. I mean, I'm sure Favreau's going to assist and, you know, might get a co-writer credit, but he's writing it. So that's something to look forward to. Now, also, we got to talk about Luke and his training of Grogu. I obviously loved the part where he taught him how to jump, told him about Yoda. And he told him, don't try, do. It's great. It was beautiful. And then at the end, he shows Grogu the Beskar chainmail. And then he shows Yoda's lightsaber. Oh, my God. Oh, man. God, I want him to have that saber so bad. Well, I just thought about something. I'm going to get to that in a second. Wow. Ooh. Okay. My bad. That really just sidetracked me. All right. He puts these two choices in front of him. He says, if you take the chainmail, you're going to go back to the Mandalorian. If you take the lightsaber, you'll be my first student, and you may never see him again, because he explained to him that a short time for him, for Grogu, is a lifetime for others. Now, at first, I thought, Luke ain't learned nothing. Luke learned nothing from his father, because if he was told or learned anything about what happened and how his father actually turned to the dark side, he would know that making someone choose between the things they love and the code they're meant to upkeep, that's not a recipe for success. That's a recipe for disaster. And that's exactly what happened to Anakin. Anakin would never have been a bad guy if he didn't have those those dreams of his loved ones dying. You know, that's, you can say all you want about Darth Sidious being able to manipulate him, but I think he would have had a much harder time if he wasn't, you know, in love with Padme or even his mother. Now, yes, that's the Jedi can't have possessions. They're not supposed to be attached to things. Yoda once famously said, "You must train yourself to let go of that which you're afraid to lose." Yes, absolutely. But this version of the Jedi Code, which was in during this time, the Republic era, they missed all of the dark side. It was all over the place, and they were just oblivious to it. They, time and time again in the prequel trilogies, went against what the Jedi actually stood for. So that being said, who are they to say what is actually the true Jedi Code at that point? Now, my question is, why can't he have both? What's the big deal about him having the Beskar armor? It's freaking armor. It can deflect a lightsaber. What? Okay. Now, I did have this conversation with the Dungeon Master, and the Dungeon Master brought something to my attention. Maybe Luke just wants him to choose. Maybe Luke wants to say, look, you either go with the Mandalorian or you'll never see him again. You'll be a Jedi. Pick. And when he picks the lightsaber, he gives him both. You chose wisely. We can start your training. Here is your Beskar armor and your lightsaber. Now, another thing that I've, you know, previously mentioned and thought about is Grogu could be the second ever Mandalorian Jedi. I mean, he was a Jedi. He was a Mandalorian foundling, so he's technically a foundling. And if he becomes a Jedi, he is a Mandalorian Jedi. By creed, this is the way. So why not let him be that? Bridge the gap between these two powerful societies, and who knows what will happen. Now, granted, we've already seen into the future of the Star Wars universe with the First Order and everything. So, you know, he's obviously not a superhero in the future like Luke Skywalker was during this time. But he still could be very powerful. Now, I thought, and this is what just sidetracked me a second ago. What if he trains with Luke, gets Yoda's lightsaber, and then goes and fights alongside Din and gets the darksaber and dual wields Yoda's saber and the darksaber wearing Beskar armor? As powerful as he could be, who could stop that? And it'd be the rightful second Jedi Mandalorian of all time. Could lead the Mandalorians to the Promised Land. Now, if that happens, that's an easy way to loop Ahsoka back in, because arguably, who is the best dual-wielding Jedi that you can think of? If it's not Ahsoka, I don't know what you're thinking, because it's Ahsoka. I mean, I'm not saying she's the, but she's damn near up there. And she also has one saber that is shorter. Excuse me. So, given the fact that Yoda's lightsaber would be smaller and the darksaber would be longer, she would be the perfect person to train Grogu into using both weapons. And could you imagine? Could you imagine the power that Grogu could have? And how influential he could be in the future? You gotta remember, Yoda's race, I mean, Yoda lived to 900. It is not too far to out of the realm of possibility to think that Grogu is still alive when Rey becomes Rey Skywalker. Why don't they continue that story and have her find Grogu as an adult and have him train her? Doesn't make any sense to me. There's a lot of openings you got that I really would hope come to pass. All right. So I talked about it a little bit. Let's talk about predictions for the season finale. You know, I said I feel like there's gonna be it's gonna be literally like a almost like Braveheart. You're gonna have two separate sides just lining up and pep talks. Like, I could see Cad Bane, like, not even saying a word, just standing in front. And then you got, you've got Boba Fett. You know what? I think it'd be Fennec Shand. I think Fennec Shand would be the one to inspire the troops. I hope they go back to the man of few words, Boba Fett. And that's why I also don't have too big of an issue with him not speaking in his time in this last episode, because You can't win. There's no middle ground with Boba Fett. You either have him the original trilogy, man of few words, just like absolutely undeniable badass, or the version we got now, who wants to rule as a retired man, basically. I don't blame him. Shit. He survived the Sarlacc pit. And, you know, ironically, just as Patton Oswalt said, I love it. But yeah, it's going to be a war. And I think it's going to leave on a big cliffhanger, and I would just love to see, you know, someone like Sabine show up, or, like Rex. Rex would be awesome. I don't even know. I mean, at this point, anyone can show up, but Cad Bane, I thought would be the biggest surprise after I saw it. But now I'm thinking, who else could it be? If the star is saying, just wait, who knows? But yeah, I definitely see him riding into battle on a Rancor. It's going to be badass. And, you know, not for nothing, but Cobb Vanth was just so amazing in that Fett armor, even though it didn't fit him right. Just saying. I hope he survives. We don't know. Obviously, he was laying like emotionless after being shot by Cad Bane. Nothing but Cad Bane lit that dude. Boop, 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 boop. That man had like an automatic assault rifle in pistol form. But I hope that I'm wrong, but I could see Fennec Shan dying to try to save Boba Fett, and that way her debt is clear. I mean, I just don't know who else can show up at this point, because we've got, let's see, what, three big cameos. Like, initially we didn't know the Pikes were gonna be there. Oh my god. The Pikes, weren't they a part of Darth Maul's syndicate? Oh my god, can you imagine if Darth Maul showed up? Wait, no. Darth Maul's dead. Yes, in this timeline, Darth Maul is dead. Yeah, because he died in Rebels against Obi-Wan. Which was shortly after Ezra showed up. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So at least we know it can't be Darth Maul. Darth Maul can't show up. I don't even know. If anyone's listening, do me a favor and comment below what you think. If you comment correctly before the episode drops, I'll give you a major shout out and props, because I've predicted pretty much the ending of all of the Disney Plus shows. So I don't really have much on this one. I like I said, I doubt Boba Fett dies. And I don't see Luke showing up to fight. I don't see Ahsoka showing up to fight. Sabine, I could see, because last we saw Sabine, she was looking for Ezra, and I feel like she may have found him and then's trying to work there. Like, first went to Bo. Bo said, I don't know, but I know the Mandalorian has been around Ahsoka. Go talk to him. And that's how she gets back with Ahsoka. Because Ahsoka, like, based off of what she did in The Mandalorian, is obviously hunting down, I'm drawing a blank. What is Admiral Thrawn? So, because Admiral Thrawn was taken by Ezra to somewhere unknown at the end of the Rebels to save the Rebellion. So, it's a little factoid about that if you didn't know, if you're not a Clone Wars and Rebels fan, which I please go watch that. It's not just a kid's show, I promise you. It's actually pretty dang awesome. But yeah, I just don't know. Maybe some of the like some of his old bounty hunter friends. I can't. Enzo, I think his name. The robot that spun around. You know, I think maybe, you know, you could see that. But man, and God, imagine if Dr. Aphra shows up. I have a hard time believing that. But if she does, phew, I'm gonna be a rich man. She's showing up. That's all I know. It's just a matter of when, not if. But yeah, if you can think of something else that I didn't mention, please feel free to leave the comments. If you disagree with what I said, please leave some comments. I like comments. I like to respond to all of them. Like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Please just observe the Nerd Tween spoiler warning 48 hours after everything released. Please don't talk about it on my pages. But can always DM me. I'm more than happy to talk with you, my theories and my information. But this is all I have for you this week. Thank you guys so much, guys, girls, aliens, Grogu, all of you, anyone who's listening. Thank you so much. Please do me a favor, like, share, subscribe, do all that good algorithm stuff. It helps me out so much, especially when I get likes, because I know that you care about me. You love me. You really, really love me. But until next week, we will obviously have the Book of Boba Fett season finale wrap up. I might have some people on for it. We'll see if it all links up in time. and look forward to seeing Duffy Boy's collab again. I had such a great time. He tried so hard to convince me that we wouldn't get Jonathan Majors in Loki, and I was right. I was right. I was right. So we'll be on the lookout for that. If you're listening to this, if you only listen to the audio, you're missing out on a lot of great content. I do interviews on my YouTube channel. The most recent one was with the writers of the hit indie Nerdtween Book of the Year, Nerdtween spec candidate, nominee, all of that. Good boy. I had both of the writers, Garrett Gunn and Dr. Christie, on, and it was just a blast. So, among other, I've interviewed Ariane Andito, which I don't know if made it onto the audio only, Noah's Amazing Reviews, Illuminati, Javin Jordan, one of the hottest artists out there. I mean, the Doug Wagner, the writer of Vinyl, Image Comic. Jason Douglas. It's so many great people that I've interviewed that not all of them made it onto the audio only. So go check out my YouTube channel. Same name, Nerdtween and Movie Podcast. As always, this is your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you so much for joining me. Till next time, this is Nerdpool Prime signing off.